Welcome to Making Our Way Forward, a podcast where we share compelling life stories and learn from the experience of everyday entrepreneurs. At NACI, we celebrate diversity and invite you to join the conversation as we talk to entrepreneurs and leaders from all walks of life. We hope that by telling their stories, we bring you inspiration, empower you to take action, and ignite entrepreneurship in your community.
So welcome to Making Our Way Forward podcast. I'm Jeff Smith, Director of Innovation and Equity for NACI. And I am here with Dr. Kalandra Stringer. Dr. Stringer is the Provost and Vice President of Academic Affairs at Tallahassee Community College. Dr. Stringer joined TCC in 2003 and has served in various leadership roles during her 17-year tenure. She taught mathematics for 8 years, receiving excellent evaluations from her students. She also served as the director of TCC STEM Center for 6 years. She received the 2008 National Institute for Staff and Organizational Development Excellence in Teaching Award and was an invited participant in both the 2006 Presidential Leadership Seminar and the 2008 Chancellor's Leadership Seminar. She was named Associate Dean of Curriculum in 2011, was appointed Associate Vice President for Academic Affairs in 2016. So we are super excited to have Dr. Kalandra Stringer here. And Dr. Stringer, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much. I've been looking forward to talking to you. We had an opportunity to catch up a few weeks ago. And so based upon that conversation, there are a lot of things that I want to kind of dive into and talk to you about. So one of the things, Dr. Stringer, I've always been interested in how passions develop and how gifts are discovered. And so I wanted to ask you, when and how did you discover your passion for math?
That's a great question. Math has just always been one of those subjects that I was great at growing up. I'm one of those first generation college students from a small rural town in Georgia. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of, well, you know, your mom went to college in math or your dad went to college in math. I didn't have that. It's just one of those like God-given talents that I had when it came to numbers, and I really excelled in it. And so when it came time to think about, well, what are you going to major in? It was just, well, I'm great at math, so I'll choose math. And that's just, you know, I've just been, you know, praying and hoping, and, you know, I use the mentors and people around me to help guide me into, you know, what do you do with math and where do you go with it? But really it was, I'm good at it, so I'll just do what I know.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome. So as a part of my work at NACI, I get to support a STEM-based mentoring program dedicated to helping young men of color and then young rural women develop positive science identity, self-efficacy, and then ideas about career plans as it relates to math and science. And so I would want to ask you, as a woman of color in the field of math, what has your journey to pursue this passion been like in this field?
So it's been an interesting journey, if I can use the word interesting here. You know, really having a high school teacher that I saw, and he was a Caucasian male, but he was like fresh out of college. And for him, calculus was like fun. And he really made it fun for the class that I was in. And I was like, oh, I can do this. I really can do this. But for me, not really having that true background of how do you really discover where do you go and what do you do in college, I really kind of relied on the small amount of information that I had and was like, okay, well, you know, when an advisor says, what's your major? I say math. And so going to a historical Black college university, they really helped to shape and define You know, what do I really do with math? And for them, they saw it with, well, you should go and you should teach math. But for me, I really at that time did not have a passion to teach math. I knew I liked numbers. I liked working with numbers. I just didn't know where to go with numbers. And, you know, I was blessed to be able to get scholarships and fellowships to go to graduate school once I finished my bachelor's in math. And you know, I made a choice to go to the state of Florida because that's where the money was as far as my scholarship. And, you know, and I said, well, maybe I'll learn more about where I can go get a job once I'm done with graduate school. But, you know, the journey wasn't easy because lots of times I was the only female in those classes, but I was really the only African-American. And, you know, it was kind of difficult because the professors were white, they were male, and a lot of them would tell you to your face that you don't belong here in a math program, a STEM program. So it was a bit of a challenge trying to really find that support network, you know, that you would need to kind of get you through those times. And there wasn't a lot of African-Americans that were around that. Now, I was looking for anybody, chemistry, biology, anybody in STEM, computer science. I just needed the network. And I really saw how difficult it was, especially coming from a historical Black college university where everybody looks like you and you have that support network to an institution that's predominantly white. And you just really you're by yourself in your major. And it was scary. It was really scary. Fortunately, I had a high school principal who ended up being in Orlando at the exact same time that I happened to be there in graduate school. And just so happened, we connected. And I know, you know, it was God intervening in that whole situation. And she was like, she was a principal at the time. And she was like, well, we need math teachers. Forget everything else. I need you to come teach this math course. And so I looked up to her. So I said, okay, she knows what she's talking about. She's out here, you know, I'll use her as my support network. You know, she was in a sorority. I was in a sorority. It was like, you know, let's have fun. Let's go do this thing. And for me being in the classroom at that time, she put me in a seventh grade classroom. I was still finishing up my master's in math, but it was an opportunity for me to really connect with the community and to really see a different side of the community that I had not seen before through the eyes of the students. And majority of those were students of color. It was one of those schools that was in the impoverished neighborhood. So, you know, I'm going in talking about math and how I love math. And they're looking at me like, who are you? Why are you here? And why are you disturbing us? So, you know, it really has been a journey, but that helped to kind of develop my passion I had for students, for trying to help the community. And it really opened my eyes as to, you know, being an African-American woman, being in a STEM field is not really many of us. And that helped to, you know, really, it opened a world of opportunity for me because even though, you know, I left the middle school and started teaching at a community college, once again, it was being in another situation where I'm looking around and there's not many African-American females. And, you know, but there was a support network here for African-Americans and for new faculty that were African-Americans, which helped. But also it helped to grow this passion that I had as to how could I help other students of color that are in those STEM fields. And that just kind of really started me on this path and journey that I'm on now. It's like, how can I help? How can I get the word out? What can I do in the community? Because we really need for more people to understand, you know, math is not that bad. It's not that bad. But there is a lot of stuff that we can do, and we just need to have the right support network around us so that we can continue our journey and be successful.
Yeah. Wow. I love what you said, all of what you said, but one of the things that really stuck out is we talk a lot about the entrepreneurial mindset And a part of that is being able to see opportunities when other people see challenge. And then also being able to align our skills, talents, and gifts in a way that's going to be able to benefit our fellow human beings. And so I heard you say this. I'm super excited to think about you as an entrepreneurial leader in terms of your career and profession. And with that said, I want to ask you, I understand that from our previous conversation that you are a spiritual person that has a sense of mission and purpose. So how do you feel that you live out that purpose in your current work?
Well, I believe I live out that purpose, you know, just by existing and being here every day and walking that road, you know, that you know that God has prepared for you to do, it becomes easy. And you just wake up every morning. It's like, you know how sometimes you like, okay, it's the end of the day, I'm tired. It's like, I don't want to get up and go back the next day. But when you wake up, you just have that fire burning on the inside of you. And you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm excited. This is what I'm going to do today. And, you know, when you know that you've helped someone, so it's really, for me, you know, when a student from years ago comes back and says, oh my gosh, Dr. Stringer, you know, I'm doing this now and I have my career and I'm out here and I remember all those things that you said to me. And sometimes I remember the student, sometimes I don't, but I'm sitting here like, okay, this is that confirmation that I need to know that I'm on the right path and that I am going in the right direction. So it's like little things that kind of help you along the way when you do get frustrated and say, okay, well, maybe this was not the right career for me. Maybe I need to start looking to do other things. But, you know, God always sends that sign to you, that confirmation that you'll have in your spirit and know you are right where I want you to be right now. I just need for you to hang in there and to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing. I also understand from our previous conversations that equity and making individuals or making sure individuals from diverse backgrounds are able to pursue their gifts and talents like you did in the fields of math and science is important to you. So can you tell me about why that's important and how you're doing equity work in your current position?
So equity is near and dear to my heart because of, you know, being the only one in the room a lot that looks like me. So equity is always going to be one of those things that's going to be near and dear where it's like, how can I, you know, help others to kind of understand and rally around the person that may be sitting by themselves in the room because they feel as though maybe they don't fit in. But also even what I do on a day-to-day basis, when I look at how our students are doing overall, I want all our students to do well. But when I start looking at the demographics to say, okay, how are our Black students performing compared to the white students compared to the Hispanics, you know, it is eye-opening when you start to look at that information and you start to say, okay, what can I do to help our students of color that are not persisting and not doing as well as the other students? Is what is it? What do we need to do differently? What strategies do we need to put in place? And that's something that's a priority, not just for me, but our college has made it a priority. And one of the things we did at the college was we redesigned our student experience and we started using what we call a culture of care. And with that culture of care is where we started to really focus those equity conversations. You know, how do we care about our students? How are we connecting with our students? You know, what does the academics look like surrounding our students? What resources are there for our students? And how are we engaging our students? So when we, you know, think about equity, we always go back to that, what we call our culture of care, our care model. And that's usually our guiding principles that we're using as we start thinking, okay, are we connecting with our students of color? What can we do to make sure that there is that personal connection, that they do feel supported, not just to get them in the door, but the entire time they're here? And then how can we help them either to transfer into another institution or how do we help them to get a job so that they're making living wages? And how can we continue to even reach into their family so that it can become one of this generational thing where we're helping to lift them out of poverty? So, you know, in my position, you know, it helps me to be able to say, okay, what's the big picture? How do we help make sure that we're all learning and that we're all persisting and moving into a successful direction?
Wow. That's so powerful. I love how you talked about the culture of care initiative. And I want to ask you, so I know that this initiative, the culture of care, how you all have responded at TCC, that it came amid the pandemic. And so that the success was seen across many different student populations, but many student groups who have historically experienced inequity in student success fared well also. Could you expound a little bit more on about that work in terms of those students who have been historically have experienced inequity as it relates to student success? What was it about this kind of culture of care that you all employ that also benefited them in the ways that it did?
So one of the things that we've made sure that we're doing is when we talk about connecting with students, we are texting our students and reaching out. When you think about students of color, lots of us are kind of quiet. We kind of keep to ourselves. It's hard for us to open up. So, you know, we're the ones who we need help, but a lot of times we won't seek out that help. But if that help comes to us, we tend to be more, okay, well, you know, they're asking, can they help? I'm going to say, yes, give me a tutor. And so that's one of the things that, you know, I believe has really helped the students to continue to do well is that when we text them, we had academic success coaches, and they would reach out to the students on a weekly basis and say, hey, how are you? How are your classes? I see you have an English assignment due. Is there something I can help you with? And so they're opening that door. And I see a lot of the students would come back and say, yes, I do need help. And we would immediately pair them with a tutor. So they wouldn't be out there lost being afraid to ask someone for help because we were bringing the help to them. Another thing that I think that was very helpful for our students is that we took our professional tutors and we embedded them into our courses. So when you would go to your math course, you not only saw your faculty member teaching, you saw that professional tutor right there in the class. And so when the instructor would say, get into breakout groups, you would be in a room with a tutor that could help you to break down and understand the information that was just shared with you. So, you know, you didn't have to once again go try to find the help. The help was right there in your face in the class with you. And I think that has been very beneficial for our students.
Wow, that's amazing to think about. Even in light of a pandemic, you all were able to come up with strategies and methods that help to promote student success in that way. Dr. Stringer, just a hypothetical, if you were asked to go to another part of the country and to in some ways replicate this culture of care, what would you do? What would be how would you lead another institution in achieving similar kind of, you know, results?
Well, the first thing we would do is to have what we call a design thinking session. And that's where everyone comes together and we talk about what are the barriers, what are we doing well, what are the challenges. Now, let's talk about all the different things that we see that we can do that could possibly be helpful. Let's make a wish list, so to speak. And that helps to create that buy-in because you can go to anywhere and say, this is what we want to do, but you have to have that buy-in. And that buy-in is where you create that passion. So, you know, when you're talking about the barriers and you're listening to what, you know, your audience is saying as, oh, we need this and we need that. And what do we do about this? You're capturing all that information. And I think from there, you help them to kind of put together that care model, that culture of care. But then they start to talk about their strategies that they think would work for their institution or their place where they are. And because it's ideas that they're coming up with, you already have that buy-in. So it's easier for you to implement and go in. And then, you know, you can tweak things and add things here and there. But it's really about going in and creating that buy-in. Because if you don't have that, it's really hard. You have to have that shared governance, so to speak. You have to be on the same wavelength. Because if you're a person from the outside coming in, a lot of people are like, what you gonna tell us that we don't already know? So you just have to make sure that, you know, you know your audience, you know what's going on, and you work together to build that shared interest.
Wow. I think you made such a great point about design thinking. And we talk a lot about innovating for equity and using the entrepreneurial mindset to be able to create, actions and strategies that's going to help us to move forward with something that is going to address some of the challenges that we have in our institution. So I really appreciate what you said there. Now, I want to ask you this. What advice would you give to others who are on a similar trajectory as you? What advice would you give them? I would love to hear that.
So it really depends on kind of where they are. You know, a lot of advice that I give to students and even some of the employees, when they talk about how do I advance, you know, what do I do about my career? And it's really about searching yourself for that passion. You know, what are you passionate about? But also, what are you good at? And how do you continue to grow? You know, one of the things that I like to do is make sure there's always some professional development, because you always have to have that continuous learning. You don't know everything, as your parents used to say when you're growing up. And I think that you have to continue with that even as you grow older, to kind of see, you know, what are the other things you need to do in order for you to be successful and get to the next level. And it's important that, you know, people like myself serve as mentors. So that we can help to coach others, so that we can talk through, okay, what's your timeline? What are you trying to do next? Are you going to grad school? You know, is graduate school right? Is it right for you right now? Or do you need to go into workplace and get some experience? So it's really sitting down, because everybody has a unique situation and there is no one size fit all. But I really think it is important to make sure, you know, that as leaders, we're mentoring others and empowering others so that they can continue to grow.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that, Dr. Stringer. Let me, I guess, ultimately, what would you like for your legacy to be in this field and beyond? I would love to hear that.
Well, I would like my legacy to be that, you know, we have really closed equity gaps, so that all of our students are kind of learning on the same level. They all have a shot at the different opportunities that are in the world. And it's not one group being left behind, but it's all of us lifting each other up. So, you know, that is one legacy that I would like to see. And I would like to see all of our students, you know, leaving the institution, doing well in whatever they choose to do, and that we're not leaving anyone left behind. You know, what was it? No Child Left Behind, when that came about. You know, there is still some need for that, is to make sure we aren't leaving anyone behind. And, you know, one of my legacies I'd like to leave is that people say, you know, well, Dr. Stringer didn't leave anybody behind. Let's not leave them. And it's something that we continue to do, so that we're all uplifting each other and helping each other get to the next level. Because when we talk about change in the community, we have to kind of be that that catalyst for change. Because as we're changing the lives of the students every day, they can go into their homes in some of those communities to help change the mindset, have that growth mindset, and help the others that are coming behind them, and even the ones that are there that may need some help to kind of get jump started to get back into, you know, what can I do to kind of change my life to get to the next level. So that's my legacy. I want to to leave that impression and to be able to make sure that we did close those equity gaps and that we are helping all of our students to be successful.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. I'm going to ask you one more question. Is I want to know if there was one quote, sacred scripture that you would share with people to leave just some form of encouragement to them. What would that be?
It would really be a quote that we are designed for the outcomes that we receive. When we go into situations, when we say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, but we don't sit down and really think it through, we're setting ourselves up for failure. And, you know, I'm always telling my team when we get ready to say, let's start this and let's start that, this new thing. And it's like, okay, wait, what are our outcomes? Because if we don't set it up the right way, we're designing it to fail. And I think that a lot of systems and structures that we have in the government, in the entire world, it is designed for a lot of people to fail. So we have to think about how can we shift and change. And, you know, it starts with having that mindset, that entrepreneurial mindset that allows you to, okay, how can I set up my life to be successful? I am going to design myself, my steps that I take, that the Lord is going to let me to be able to take so that I'm not going to fail, so that I can have good outcomes. And I think if people would really take that in to kind of think about it, even on a daily basis, when you wake up and you say, okay, you know, oh, it's Monday, I don't want to come to work, but it's no, it's like, I'm going to design my day because I want to have a good day. And it's like, what do I do to have that good day? Do I need to steal away and get my prayer closet for a few minutes when things start to get heated to make sure that I have a good day? Because I am designing myself with outcomes so that I can make sure that my outcomes are successful by the end of today.
Yeah, I love that. Dr. Kalandra Stringer, thank you so much for spending time with us today. This has been great. Thank you for the words of inspiration, life, and those motivational words that you spoke to us.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being here today and enjoyed the conversation. You gave me a lot of things to think about that I haven't thought about in a while, so I do appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Stringer.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that listening to this podcast will help you to explore the many ways we might define entrepreneurship. Join us every other Wednesday for more episodes as we celebrate opportunity, learn from one another, and grow together. Subscribe to this podcast, connect with us on social media, and learn more about today's speakers at nacy.com/podcast. We look forward to making our way forward together with you.
Have you heard the exciting news? NACI recently released a new publication titled The NACI Playbook, Volume 1, all about how entrepreneurial mindset sets the new standard for success in communities and colleges. The NACI Playbook digs into entrepreneurial mindset and how practicing leadership with this framework creates an agile culture with space to innovate, co-create, fail forward, and accelerate growth. Entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial leadership require us to lean in, anticipate and recognize trends, manage change, be resilient, take risks, reflect, and rest in the knowledge that anything is possible. Learn from our innovative, insightful, generous network who navigates both challenges and opportunities entrepreneurially as we share what we've learned and how you might apply their experience to your work. We hope you'll be as inspired as we were. Learn more at www.nacyplaybook.com.